Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Amen. Good to be back at Bible Believers. Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, and open it to the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter number 15. I appreciate what the pastor said about preaching. Amen. There is nothing in your life that preaching won't fix. Now, we got a lot of ideas about what will fix things, and the world thinks it's counseling, and the world thinks it's programs. But I was looking at the book of Jonah just the other day, and I'm not preaching out of the book of Jonah this morning, but I was looking at that text. And here's a guy that God told to go preach in Nineveh. It wasn't that Jonah didn't like preaching, he just didn't want to preach in Nineveh. And so he ran from the Lord, you know the story, but when you get to chapter 3 and he goes to Nineveh, he doesn't philosophize, he doesn't share, he doesn't counsel. He preaches. And the entire city, from the king all the way down to the youngest child in that city. In fact, there's even some indication when you read the Bible that the cattle got saved. I don't know how that happens. Amen. But when you read that text, everybody got saved, and it did not happen because a politician was elected. Amen. Amen. And it did not happen because they had good counseling. It happened because they had preaching. And so that's what we're going to have this week. And there's probably going to be some that you don't need at the immediate moment. But I've learned this about preaching. If you will take what God gives you, you may not need it now, but there'll come a time in your life when God will bring a message back to your remembrance at a critical hour. God will bring a thought back to your remembrance. God will bring a verse back to your remembrance at a critical time. Listen, a lot of you folks I don't know, it's been 8 years since I've been here. My hair was darker. Amen. I didn't have a beard. And it's not because I couldn't grow one. I just was in that crowd where, amen, that was anathema. And I don't care anymore. I'm 56. I got over caring a while ago. Amen. I had a big bowl. I don't give a rips this morning for breakfast. Amen. So amen. But you're in Luke chapter number 15. It is certainly good to be here. It's the first time my wife has been here. And last time I don't remember where I flew in from. I flew in from somewhere. I can't remember where we were. Florida, I think. And it was in the dead of winter. It was over New Year's. I remembered why I moved out of Michigan. Amen. We were just up in this area here a few months ago, and we had snow. And so I still, it's beyond me why people live up here all their life, but I'm glad somebody lives up here. Amen. And I say that in jest. When you live in a motorhome, there are some things you can't do. And amen. I got a thumbs up from the guy on the front row. Amen. Hallelujah. Spirit's already moving. When you live in a motorhome, you don't want to do winter. We did that one time and decided that God was not in that. Amen. And when you found verse number 1, Luke 15, let me ask you if you can or are physically able to stand. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 1. It's a very familiar text. And you know, a lot of times when we come to familiar, there's probably nobody in this room hadn't heard a message out of Luke 15. And our problem when we come to a text with which we are very familiar is we think we know everything there is to know about the text. And can I just say this morning? There is no new truth. There's no new ideas. I don't have some new nugget to preach to you. But sometimes it's just really good, if we can, to ask God to let us look at a text with a fresh set of eyes and put aside all the commentaries we've read and, amen, all the thoughts we've heard everybody else say about the text, and ask God to show us something. Because I'm going to tell you something. The one thing that's different about this book than any other book is every time you read it, you can read something different. Now, I'm not saying the words change, but this book's alive. And this book speaks to us. By the way, one of the reasons why we was waving that book around just a little while ago is because that is the written word of God. Jesus is the living word. This book's the written word. And I'm grateful that we've got a copy of that this morning. Say amen. If you're glad to be in church, say amen. Verse number one, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Verse two, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." That's a horrible indictment, isn't it? Now just look up here just a minute. If we don't let sinners in this building, ain't none of us going to be here. Amen. I mean, from the preacher to everybody else in this room, there isn't anybody going to, and I know ain't nobody in good English, but everybody understands what I mean. So if you're an English teacher, do not come up to me after the service. I know good English, but I'm choosing not to use it for a reason. Amen. Now look at verse number three. "And he spake this parable." Notice he didn't speak three parables. "He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home," good to be home, isn't it? Amen. "He calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance." I want to preach this morning on this thought as we start this meeting. I drove here yesterday. We left Cincinnati, Ohio. We actually crossed the river in Kentucky. So we drove about 5.5 hours up this way. And a lot of that drive coming up through the state of Ohio, I'm not meaning to use a foul word in the church house, just where we were and drove through. Amen. For all you Wolverine fans, amen. So don't come up here and fight with me. Amen. I'm not a Buckeye fan. I just had to drive through there to get to here. This must needs go through Samaria. Amen. Somebody say amen. So anyhow, we drove through a lot of beautiful country. Then you get to Toledo. I spent a week in Toledo one night. Drive. That kind of wafts over the crowd, amen. But the point I'm mentioning is I know you live in an area that's densely populated. The text is talking about something that is lost in the wilderness. Preach and I were talking. I don't mean to make you stand long. Let's pray and then I'll finish my thoughts. Father, I pray that you'd help me, Lord. I got so much on my heart, Lord. God, you had me up late last night. You had me up early this morning. And Father, I'm grateful, God, that you wanted to talk to me and you wanted to spend some time with me. And Lord, that always is a humbling thing, Lord. But I pray now this morning. God, I feel like I'm trying to herd cats, trying to get my thoughts all in the same direction. And Father, I can't do that by myself. Lord, I need your help. And Lord, these people don't need to hear an old man just talk about a bunch of random stuff. Father, we need to hear from you. God, we need to hear your message. We need to hear your truth. And so, Father, I pray that, God, you'd help me. And, God, order my thoughts. And God, I pray that you'd put a gate on my mouth and a guard on my lips that I might not say anything that, Lord, would be detrimental to the gospel. God, that would be, God, demeaning to your book. Father, that would be discouraging to this church or this pastor. Father, I want to preach with your power and, God, with your unction. And Lord, I know I can't do that on my own. And so, Father, as best I can, I yield myself to you. And God, ask that you'd help me this morning. Lord, all I have to offer you is that which is natural. Lord, I'm a natural man. I don't have any power within myself, God, other than the abilities that you have given me. But Lord, I know that, God, you are not natural. You are supernatural. And Father, I've got a sneak suspicion that, Lord, if I'll give my natural to you, and God, you'll add your super to it, that God, something supernatural can happen in this place today. Father, there's a lot of people here that I do not know. God, I've not had the pleasure of meeting them heretofore. Father, the pastor and I have not talked about anybody's life, about anybody's need, about who's here. God may be here as a visitor for the very first time. Lord, I don't know, God, who needs the gospel or God, who's already received the gospel. Lord, I don't need to know that because I'm not the one that can save them. Lord, I'm glad you know that. Lord, if they're here and they're lost, I pray they'd know that. I pray that they'd realize their condition. I pray that they would see themselves in this text. Father, and those of us that are saved, I pray that, God, you'd once again restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Father, that God, you'd do a work in our hearts and our lives that we might rejoice in you. Father, I pray that, God, you'd help us to, God, hold the banner high and God, to stand for the gospel in the day and the age in which we are living. Father, this world needs Jesus. We were reminded Friday, God, of the grave condition that our society has slipped into. Father, with that school shooting again. And Father, this world doesn't need gun control. It doesn't need political involvement. It needs Jesus. And Father, the only way that Jesus is going to get to this world is through preaching. And so Father, help us to make a difference in this part of the world in these days. And then God, help us to go from this part of the world, God, to the part of the world that we work in, to the part of the world that we live in. And God, help us to carry the gospel message, God, to those who are around us. And Father, we'll bless you and praise you and thank you for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we make this prayer and we wrap it in expectation. Amen. You can be seated. Sorry to have you standing for so long, but I'll be standing longer than you will. Amen. We was driving up here and we got into city and densely populated area. And I was saying, the pastor and I were talking yesterday when we got here and got everything in the motor coach set up and we were just kind of fellowshipping a little bit. I was talking about the world that I grew up in. I grew up in the 1960s and the early 70s, and I know to some of you that is ancient history. I remember being there myself when I thought a 56-year-old man was ancient. Amen. I feel ancient, but I'm not as ancient as I feel. Amen. When I was a kid growing up on a Saturday morning, typically I would get on my bicycle. I'd leave the house at 7 or 7:30 in the morning, and my mom and dad wouldn't even see me until supper time. You can tell, obviously, I didn't miss supper time. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Amen. But I mean, I was gone all day long. I'd ride my bicycle, the equivalent of from here clear to the other side of Novi to go to some certain places that I was interested in going. You can't do that with your kids no more. Our world has changed. We live in, listen, my parents didn't panic when they didn't see me around the neighborhood. They were pretty confident that I was okay. Amen. But now if your children slip out of your sight, I mean, there's a fear and a terror that grips your heart. Why? Listen, you don't just decide, well, they shouldn't have wandered off and I'll make another one. Well, you might have thought about that, but it's really not something you'll say to your kids. Amen. Might be one or two you'd choose to just do over again, but amen. We've had five. I can think of two right now, but anyway. I hope it's okay to be that honest in church, amen. No sense in lying in the pulpit, but. Oh man, you panic. Fear grips your heart. Almost all of us immediately, man, the worst case scenario pops in our head. Alright, now listen, we're talking about human beings who've got some ability and most have got some sense of direction. But in our text this morning that I have read to you in your hearing, amen, we're talking about that the parable is of a lost sheep. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. It's important for us to understand some things. Listen, the scope of the loss that we're dealing with here is relatively small, right? It's 1 out of 100, right? Most people, listen, if you are an investor, If you incur a 1% loss, you don't panic that much. Right? Because a 1% loss is really, in the big scheme of things, not that big a deal. So I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. The reason the shepherd goes after that sheep, which is lost, until he finds it, is not because he's concerned about the loss of his profit. He's concerned about the pity of the object that is lost. Amen. It's not self-interest, it's sheep interest that drives that shepherd to search for that lost sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand this morning, we live in a world that talks about love, and man, we love this and we love that, and we love this kind of vehicle, and we love this kind of music, and we love this kind of, we don't even know what love is anymore. Amen. We are so confused about, I'm going to tell you what love is. Love's unconditional. Amen. And the love that we're looking at this morning, as displayed in Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 7, gives us a picture of the unconditional love of the Father for His children. Amen. I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. We see the lost sheep here, and I'm telling you, after a day of journeying to find green pastures, and I know you live in a metro area, and probably a lot of you have never been to an area where there's actually been shepherds and sheep. I've been blessed to travel to some countries in this world where farming and raising livestock is the primary means of feeding a family. In fact, before I met your pastor, I had been blessed to spend a couple of weeks in the country of Romania, preaching in a Bible college and training some men that had left their families for a 6-week period of time. We had school from 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. They would wear you out. Listen, I needed to take a break. Amen. I was tired. I was give out. And they're like, listen, we only got 6 weeks and we got to go back to our jobs and our families, and we're going to go back to our villages and start a church. But I remember getting up in the morning, getting myself ready, and I watched as shepherd after shepherd would lead their flocks down the main street of that little village and up onto the green hills of the countryside. And then in the evening, they'd reverse the process and bring them back into the sheepfold. And it's an amazing thing to watch. That shepherd would always take high ground, so he can watch against any predators. And so I got a picture in my mind, Grace, of how this is playing out, because that shepherd's bringing those sheep back into the safety of the sheepfold after a day of grazing and being up in the highlands, and then coming down to the lowlands where the waters run, where the cool, amen, refreshing waters come, where they can get a drink. And he's bringing them back in the sheepfold, and with that staff, amen, that amen, pulls a sheep that's going astray back into line, and the rod, amen, that keeps a predator away, or amen, wraps a sheep on the head when it's being cantankerous. Amen. You ever wonder why your Bible said in Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me? It's good to have a God that loves you enough that won't let you get out of line. It's good to have a God that loves you enough that'll knock you in the head every once in a while. Amen. Say, so how does that happen? Preaching. You ever sit in a service and it seemed like that the message wasn't for anybody but you? Anybody ever been there? Feel like I'm preaching to a tree full of owls right now. Amen. Everybody looking at me. I'm an audience response kind of guy. You ever been there where you felt like nobody else was in it, where they might have been there, but it wasn't for them, it was just for you? That's when God is using that rod, amen, and it's a comfort. Man, listen, it's a comfort to know I got somebody cares for me. Amen. It'd be a miserable world if nobody cared for you. It'd be a miserable life if your parents didn't care for you. Amen. Amen. It'd be a sad existence if nobody cared whether you lived or died. Listen, this shepherd is, and so he's counting those sheep as they're coming in the fold. And he gets up to 97 and 98 and 99. And he's waiting, brother, for that last one to come in. And there's no bad. And all of a sudden, the mood changes. Because those 99 are safe. But he's got one that has wandered off. Now, let me just say this to you city folk, which I am a city boy. All right, I'm not a country boy. When I preach in country churches, I tell folk, every one of my country experiences has happened at a Cracker Barrel restaurant. I am a city boy. Amen. I was born in the city. I was raised in the city. One of these days, we're going to a city. Somebody say amen. Amen. Four square. It's blocks. Amen. We can figure out how to get around up here. Them country folk will have a hard time. They ain't gonna find a fourth oak tree and a white picket fence. Somebody say amen. Amen. But one of the things that we have a hard time understanding is why, out of all the livestock animals that God created, why He compare us to sheep. You ever thought about that? We all like sheep have. Well, you all know that verse. Amen. I was hoping they'd know it. I was seeing how much the preachers taught you. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I know He's got, man, you guys know your Bible. Here, listen to me. Why didn't He compare us to horses? Or cows? I mean, pigs are even smarter than sheep are. I mean, literally, seriously, you talk to anybody that's raised livestock. The dumbest, easiest to get themselves lost, amen, are sheep. And that's what God, who made us, said we're like. We ain't all that in a bag of chips, y'all. Amen. We ain't really all that smart. Listen, I got to thinking about this. When I was a kid, this is back a long time ago when, you know, you only had about six channels on your television. Amen. And if your dad wanted the television channel changed, he used the remote. He was, Phil, go change the channel. Amen. How many grew up in a house like that? Amen. Had rabbit ears. Remember them? And aluminum foil on the rabbit ears. Am I telling the truth? Amen. And man, we didn't have a whole lot to watch, which probably wasn't a bad thing. One of the things I liked to watch was Gilligan's Island. Anybody ever watch that? Oh, listen. Anyway. All right, so they're on this three-hour tour and the boat quits. Ever notice this? I just watched Castaway again, by the way. Sorry. Wilson! you ever notice that nobody ever drifts to a place worth going to? You ever notice that? I mean, listen, I've watched enough Tom Hanks movies. If he's in the room, I'm going somewhere else. He always winds up in trouble somehow, amen? But I'm just telling you, listen, the fact of the matter is we never wind up in a good place. And I learned this about lives. Lives without boundaries seldom end well. See, we live in a day, we live in an hour when nobody wants anybody telling them what to do. We don't even want somebody telling us what gender we are. I'm like, it ain't really that difficult to figure out. Really pretty simple. I won't go into detail, but if you need help, amen, talk to the pastor. I'm instructed after the service. I mean, we're losing our minds. Amen. Because we don't want anybody telling us what to do, where to go, how to live, until we get in trouble. Then all of a sudden we want somebody to jump in and fix it. You know, the sad thing is, to many people, God is really little more than a 911 call or an ATM machine. We talk to Him when we got a problem. We want Him to come and fix it. Amen. We want to declare an emergency. Or we need money because money's going to fix our problem. And can I just say this? Money isn't going to fix your problem. Amen? Listen, I know enough people with money. They got enough money to burn a wet mule in the monsoon rain. And they got problems just like you and I. I'm just trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we see in the first part of this text that this shepherd is concerned about this sheep. And he's not concerned because he's going to lose some money. He's not concerned because, amen, he's going to lose a commodity. He's concerned because that sheep cannot protect its self. I realize this, ladies and gentlemen, this gives us three thoughts about being lost. Number one, to be lost means we're spiritually dull. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. If you are lost, you have no concept of your spiritual need. Amen. Listen, before I got saved, the only time I thought about God was on Christmas and Easter. That's because we went to church. We were that family. Pastors and people in ministry refer to them as CEO Christians. Christmas and Easter only. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, listen, I didn't think about God. Listen, it was a brand new concept to me. When I got saved, to even give some consideration to what God made me for and what God's purpose for my life might be, it was a brand new thought to me. I never stopped to consider that. I always figured out what I wanted to do and what direction I wanted to go. And then I got saved and realized, man, God had a plan for me. God didn't make me with no purpose any more than God made you with no purpose. Hello? That shouldn't scare you. Man, that ought to make you rejoice. God didn't just stick you here on this earth and say, okay, go figure it out yourself. No, He's got a purpose and a plan. He made you for a reason. By the way, the Bible tells us that all things were created for His pleasure. Amen? Not only are we spiritually dull, but I realize this, spiritually we are directionless. The Bible said we all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one our own way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 25, the Bible says, for we were as sheep going astray. And I realized this, Brother Mike, the idea here is that every day that sheep, every step that sheep takes is another step away from the shepherd. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that heaven's going to be your home, can I just say to you that every day you remain in that condition, every hour you remain in that condition, you're one day closer to, amen, maybe being lost for eternity. Listen, it is not a badge of honor, y'all, to be able to sit in a church and sit in a service and sit under preaching and God not deal with your heart. Now we're going to have, let's see, we're going to have two messages today, so we're going to have 12 messages for this week's out. See how quick I am at math? You're going to have 12 messages. That's equivalent to 6 Sundays condensed down into 6 days. And can I say this? It is not going to be a badge of honor or proof of your spirituality for you to sit through 12 messages and never respond. We've gotten to the place where we are so comfortable that we can sit and hear preaching and God, amen, not deal with us because we just think, well, that's good for him and that's good for her. Don't mind me while I'm sweating. Amen. I'm just getting my cardio in today. Amen. I'm just telling you, we ought to come to church hungering and thirsting for God to do something in our heart. Fanny Crosby, that great blind songwriter, wrote those words to the song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And she wrote the words of that song after she was sitting in an evangelistic meeting and a preacher got done preaching and gave the invitation. And while hundreds of other people were responding, she sat there in her pew, unmoved. And she got back to her room and began to reflect on that. And it troubled her. Fanny Crosby is probably the greatest songwriter in, amen, the last 150 years. I don't know how many songs are in that Webster's unabridged version of your songbook. 800 and some odd songs in there, I think, or something. That's the biggest songbook I've ever seen other than a Webster's unabridged dictionary. But she's got, I bet there's dozens of them in there that she wrote. And her passion and her hunger was that God would speak to her heart. Can I say this, y'all? If you've gotten to the place in your spiritual life where you think you've arrived, you are clueless. Amen. Listen, we see this sheep that is spiritually dull. This to be lost is to be spiritually directionless. Let me say, not only do we see the pity for the lost sheep, but I want you to notice this with me, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to notice the power. Oh, by the way, we see it means to be spiritually defenseless. Listen, I know y'all got a team down yonder or over yonder called the Lions. I'm sorry. You ever notice nobody names their professional sports team or college sports team the Lambs? Amen. You know why? Because they would do everybody do just like you do. How hard is it to beat a lamb? I mean, lambs don't even have teeth that can bite. They can't run. They have no way of defending themselves. So I want you to understand, this sheep that is lost is in a bad way. Amen? It can't defend itself against the predators that are after it. And can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that we, like sheep, cannot defend ourselves against the spiritual predators that are after our souls and after our families. We see not only the pity for the lost sheep, but I want you to notice this quickly. I want you to notice the power of a loving shepherd. He said, verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? I want you to notice the length of the search, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't set a 24-hour period. He didn't set an area that he was going to search and then call it a day. Somebody say amen. He's going till he finds it. I'm telling you, he's not quitting. He's not giving up. Listen, we have a Savior of personal sympathy. Listen, I'm thankful he became alarmed over the loss of one sheep. And can I say this? Listen, I don't know what the count is in here this morning. We might be 80, maybe 100. But if there's one here that's lost, he's more concerned about you than he is about everybody else in this room. Amen. And he's so concerned about you that he had me up half the night praying. He had the preacher up half the night praying. We both like to sleep on Saturday night. So, amen. So we're refreshed and ready on Sunday morning. That did not happen last night. And I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for him, nor I. We're not eliciting your sympathy. I'm just telling you the truth. God had me up half the night last night. I didn't know he had him up half the night until I talked to him this morning. But God had us both up half the night troubled and praying because there's a pretty high likelihood there's somebody here that needs to hear this message. Can I say this morning? You're in a pretty good place to be found. Amen. You didn't just drift in here. Amen. God intervened in your path. Amen. As Tom Hanks said. Amen. Who knows what the wind may blow in? Amen. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is we see a loving shepherd who has sympathy. He's going to seek until he finds it. And he's a Savior of personal sacrifice. Listen, I got to thinking about that word until. He said he's going to go after that which is lost until he find it. Listen, that carries with the idea that the need of that sheep drove him through the darkness of night, drove him through the heat of the day, drove him through the threats of the wilderness, the fear of the attacks of predators, and anything else that might be endangering the life of that sheep. And ladies and gentlemen, he put himself in between that sheep and danger. We heard again Friday of another school shooting. They had a school resource officer. It probably prevented a lot of other people from getting killed. But you know what he did? He put himself in between the students and that shooter. You know what Jesus did? He put himself in between you and hell. In between you and the reward of your sin. Amen. That's exactly what he did. Amen. He sought you until he found you. Now I got to looking at this text because the Bible said that when he found that sheep, you're looking at the verse. Let me see your Bible here, sweetheart. The Bible said in verse number 6, verse number 5, and when he hath found it, notice, he didn't scold it. Amen. He didn't whip it. He had a rod, the staff, he could have. Amen. I mean, I'm sure, humanly speaking, the shepherd was aggravated. Amen. And rightfully so. But that isn't what he did. He didn't scold it. He didn't whoop it. He didn't put it on social media. Amen. No, I want you to know what he did. Gabe, come here. Can you help me a minute? Can you help me? Stand up on that pew, because I don't know that I can. So stand up on it. Yeah. We will ask forgiveness for. Amen. Just kidding. So Gabe's lost. Gabe's been wandered. I'm the shepherd. You don't mind getting on my shoulders, do you?
Okay.
All right. Get on my shoulders. All right. This is Gabe's best side anyway. All right, now, the Bible said he put him on his shoulders. Now, you got four legs, man, so get the other two legs over here on this side. Come on, lay around my back. That's it, right there. Get up here like this. This is awkward. I got you. You ain't going nowhere. I've done this before, man. It ain't my first day at the rodeo. By the way, ain't nobody got this on social media neither, amen? Now, listen to me just a minute. Gabe is a sheep, right? He got four legs, right? But his four legs have been disqualified for the rest of the journey. Amen. And where is the shepherd carrying him? And when he cometh what? Home. He's carrying him home. Can I just remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that I contributed, thank you, Gabe, I'll give you a towel to wipe off later. The only thing, hey, listen, in all seriousness, the only thing you and I contributed to our salvation was the sin that made it necessary. And those four legs have been disqualified for the rest of the journey. He's now a six-legged sheep, and he's walking home on two legs that don't belong to him. Amen? He's going to get us home. Listen, I'm not talking about, amen, that, amen, there's nothing to do and there's no, I'm talking about salvation. I'm not talking about your Christian experience. I'm talking about salvation. And see, we live in this world that keeps saying, well, you gotta try harder to do better, and if you do enough good works, they'll outweigh your bad works, and that's nonsense. And it's just as much nonsense as that crowd that believes that everybody, Doorman Dave, is going to heaven. Because everybody ain't going. Amen. If there was one sheep that's lost, those odds are too high. Amen. He's interested in saving everybody. But ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? You got to first realize you're lost. And if you're here this morning and you don't know that heaven's going to be your home, you don't know that Christ is your Savior. In fact, you're pretty confident. I was reading another Fanny Crosby story. She wrote hundreds of hymns, but she was preaching in a mission in New York one night, or speaking in a mission in New York one night, and she felt deeply impressed that there was a young man there that was lost, and that night would be his last night. By the way, you do understand that one day will be your last time to hear the gospel. One day it will be your last time to respond. So when's that going to be? I don't know, and you don't either, so you ought to jump on her now. Amen. If the Holy Ghost is passing by your way, amen. If you feel the Spirit of God trouble in your heart, I wouldn't put it off. So I'll do it Friday. Don't do it. You might not make it to Friday. Amen. I have no idea what's going to happen between now and Friday. There's no guarantee I'm going to make it to Friday. But if I don't, I know where I'm going. Amen. I'm just saying, listen, if you feel the Holy Ghost trouble in your heart, listen, so she felt impressed, and so she said, I believe there's some mother's boy here that if he doesn't get saved tonight, be his last time. And a young 18-year-old man living on the street, eating at the mission, sleeping at the mission, came up to him and said, Miss Fanny, were you talking to me? And she took him aside and talked to him, and amen. They went through some scriptures, and he prayed, and then a few moments later he said, I'm ready to go to heaven, for I've met God. Amen. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's probably somebody here this morning. I don't believe God would put this message on my heart if there wasn't somebody here this morning that's wondering about that right now. And you want to go to heaven, but you're pretty confident the way you're living right now is not going to lead you there. Amen. I understand you're in church this morning, and I applaud you for that. But going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing out in a parking lot makes you an automobile. Amen. Then eating that McDonald's, then going to McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. I'm just telling you. In fact, church is one of the greatest places to hide from God. Amen? Because we know what's expected and we can fit into the mold. And so I wonder this morning as we bow our head and close our eyes. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning that would say, "Preacher, I don't know. I'm not sure if I died right now that heaven would be my home."